Through Thick and Thin is a 12-month journey to discover your truest identity and calling in the Lord. Designed by and for young Vietnamese Catholics, this podcast welcomes special guests to discuss the intersection of faith, life, and culture. Now, here's your host, Vivian Nguyen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Through Thick and Thin. I'm your host, Vivian Nguyen, and I am so thrilled you have chosen to take a little time out of your busy schedule to tune in. Today, the Through Thick and Thin podcast has finally launched, and I am just over the moon to begin this 12-month journey with you, really, through thick and thin. We will learn and grow and cry and laugh so much together, and my prayer is that by the 12th month, you will be prepared to fight for your moment, to love and respect yourself more as you discover your truest identity and calling. Through Thick and Thin, we release one episode per month, particularly on the first Friday, where all the topics will interconnect, kind of like a book. And at the end of each episode, there will be a challenge I encourage you to have a crack at fulfilling for that month. We're going to be real, we're going to be honest, we're going to tackle the fun and perhaps taboo subjects and also hard ones, and we are going to have so much fun with extraordinary guests. And all you got to do is stay steadfast and consistent. And with that being said, I am so excited to introduce our very first guest, who is here to talk with us about how to have conversations with your parents when there is a wall in the relationship. He is the current parochial vicar of St. Cecilia Parish in Beaverton, Oregon, and the chaplain of Young Catholic Professionals Portland, and just overall one of the kindest, wisest, and coolest people I know. Let's welcome Father Randy Huang.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you. I really appreciate your invitation for me to be here on this podcast. And I really hope that, you know, we can be able to, as we begin this podcast, open up the conversations we're able to have. I think it's very crucial in this time and age, you know, in a special way, you know, we don't really have the opportunity to have conversations without feeling that were heard or not heard. So hopefully this will be an opportunity for that.
Thank you so much for being here. I really, really appreciate it. Well, let's just first start off with an icebreaker. How's life been recently?
Life has been interesting. It's kind of hard to describe what the life of a priest is. I think someone asked, Father, how's life? Is it normal? I'm like, well, a priest's life is never normal. It's kind of always, you know, extremes, sure. Always extraordinary, but it's been good. I've been in the parish now for a full year, coming up a full year. Yeah, next week
I was actually going to ask how priesthood has been.
Yeah, so I've been ordained a priest now for 2 years, but I've only been in the parish for 1 year.
1 year.
And so I'm wrapping up that 1 year next week, and it's been phenomenal. It's been a really great, beautiful, you know, unfolding of the year of getting to know the parishioners at St. Cecilia's. Again, the staff and, you know, getting to know overall the people over there, but also, you know, those in our YCP program here in Oregon. But summer has been calm, which has kind of been, you know, a norm, I think, for a lot of parishes and priests.
Sure.
But it's been really, yeah, it's been really good.
Any top highlight moments?
Top highlight moments. I would say in particular this summer, I've been able to take a lot of opportunities to go over to parishioners' homes. And that's something that I love doing because that's really where I'm able to have conversations with them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some families, obviously, that I'm closer with because I see them after masses and they approach me and we talk about things and they're in the school. But a lot of times I don't get to know a lot of parishioners because the parish I'm at right now at St. Cecilia's, it's a massive parish. Mm-hmm. We have seven weekend masses. And so I can't get to know anybody. So going to people's homes has really been that opportunity for me to get to know my parishioners, connect with them, but also, you know, be able to be effective in my ministry, in particular to my homilies, because I know my parishioners, I know the audience, I know their struggles, I know kind of their wants and desires, and it really does help me. But I've really loved being able to visit homes and, you know, kind of being able to just hang out, play games, be in the pool with them.
Yeah. You know. That's awesome. Well, we're going to start off with this question. Would you rather?
Oh, would I rather?
Would you rather have all traffic lights you approach be green or never have to stand in line again?
I think my traffic lights are always green or greenish yellow. Or stand in line.
Greenish yellow.
I would say green lights.
Green lights.
I'm very impatient on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a pretty quick person in general. And anybody who knows me
sure.
would know that I'm a pretty quick person. So I'm not very patient when it comes to red lights. In a line, I can wait because I know that I'm getting something at the very end of it or I'm with people. And so I'm in the
okay.
moment.
That's right.
Whereas when I'm driving, it's like I'm trying to get somewhere. And it's like, come on. But, yeah. So definitely green lights.
Okay. Good answer.
Yeah.
So, Father, I wanted to produce a podcast for young adults, specifically Vietnamese young adults. And it's mainly because we struggle a lot with pressures, pressure from family, mm-hmm. society, community, friends, school, and activities. And because we try so hard to measure up with these pressures, we lose our sense of self and forget our purpose and calling in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to help people my age navigate these issues in order to rediscover their identity by focusing solely on God and letting go of the worldly and unnecessary distractions. So our topic today is an issue that so many teens out there are confronting and are needing guidance on how to navigate these issues. And so, to be honest with you, I'm not perfect at navigating these issues myself, or these conflicts myself, as I also do experience these issues at home. And the main reason why I chose to kick off this Through Thick and Thin podcast with this sensitive and personal topic is because Mother Teresa, I remember, once said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if we want to be able to fight for our moment well, if we want to discover and be faithful in our purpose and calling, we have to begin with our family first, because that's where we came from. And perhaps that's where our first understanding of love came through as well. And we can't really fulfill anything or do anything faithfully without learning how to love wholeheartedly. And so let's just first start off with your personal experience. I know you yourself were raised in a Vietnamese family. What was it like for you growing up? Or maybe it was easy to raise an angel like you and you just never got in
trouble. I was definitely not an angel. So my parents are Vietnamese refugees who came in the early 80s. So it's kind of the second wave of immigrants mm-hmm. to the U.S. They met in the U.S. and then got married and then had me.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, I am very much American.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm kind of American through thick and thin, really. Mm-hmm. But I also grew up in a Vietnamese household. That was a very strong, you know, household. And I think that's something that is very much a part of me, that strong identity of being Vietnamese. It comes to really, I think, influence me and how I grew up, but then also kind of how that has been difficult to at times reconcile with kind of this openness in which we would call the American Western perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think in my childhood, if I was to speak frankly, I felt loved. You know, I felt loved, you know, growing up. My parents provided for me, and the way that they expressed their love was through providing. And I think that was how they knew best from their experience growing up. Right. I mean, I think for most Vietnamese parents, they are refugees. They've come from a war-ridden country. Right. And that does something to someone. Right. And I think for them, getting away and being able to provide an opportunity for their children was their number one focus. Right. I think that's very important for any conversation about relationships, is like, where are they coming from? And that's where my parents were coming from was leaving their country and then now wanting to provide for their children the best life that they can give.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that growing up with my parents, that they devoted time to be with me, to provide for the means I would need. And I remember still to this day, you know, when I was growing up, my mom and dad would say, I never want you to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to always know that I'm going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And even as an adult now, like that's still very much there. Like, I'm always going to take care of you. I mean, they're talking about my retirement already, of like how they're going to provide for that. right? So that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of their perspective.
Yeah.
But I would say growing up, especially once I got into middle school and high school, it was kind of hard because I had all of my friends who are non-Asian. Like, I never had any Asian friends growing up, like besides my one neighbor that I lived with next door because we just grew up together. But I never really fit in with any Asian, you know, classmates of mine. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my friends were Anglo, were Hispanic, were Black, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a very different culture mm-hmm. completely,
sure.
right? Just in terms of like how they live, because most of these, you know, friends of mine are not first generation. They're like 6th, 8th, 10th generation, you know, now in the US. And so it's a very different mindset. And so it's kind of hard for me because I really wanted to be able to kind of this, have this freedom of like being able to go, you know, to on the bus or, you know, be able to have my own like school lunch or like being able to kind of go over to my friend's house. But then my mom was like, why always ride the bus when we have a car? And that was kind of their mentality. And I think it really comes back to they left their country to be able to get over here to provide and have a car. So why would you want to take a bus?
Yeah.
Like that just doesn't, for them, it's foreign.
Yeah.
Right. But I would say that those kind of things kind of like was difficult for me. Because I was like, I was trying my best to kind of want to fit in with my friends and my peers. Mm-hmm. But then they were like, why? Like, why would you want that? Like, you have everything you would need here. Why would you want to kind of live like that? Right. And that was, I think that was for me what was difficult. And I think another part of it too was that I'm the oldest. Mm-hmm. So I have a younger brother, we're four years apart. Mm-hmm. And so at times I felt like I had to hold together the family, right? Mm-hmm. And also kind of hold on to the culture because mm-hmm. I knew that I was going to be the one passing on the culture. I obviously at that point, I wasn't, you know, thinking about the priesthood yet, mm-hmm. but if anything, I'd be the firstborn son, mm-hmm. right? In the Vietnamese culture, the firstborn son holds a very significant role, especially being my dad is the oldest boy in the family, right? And so it, because it puts on that pressure that I'm the one that's going to be passing on the family name and the lineage.
Right.
And so I took on that role naturally mm-hmm. because of that. And it was kind of, it was hard because I was like, I want these like traditions, you know, of these family values and various, you know, Catholic traditions that were kind of brought into the family of having all these events and prayers and whatnot. But then I'm still like, oh, I have all this other stuff that is very much what I want to still have, but how do I reconcile that with my family?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I would say overall, I had had a very happy and peaceful upbringing, mm-hmm. right? Again, that doesn't negate that there wasn't any moments of arguments or frustrations or, you know, of clashing. And that's all normal to any family dynamic,
right?
But I would say in general, I had a very happy upbringing.
I'm glad. Because I went to a confirmation retreat last year as I was one of the mentors there.
Yeah.
And I know nowadays it's particularly in the Vietnamese community, a lot of teens are having conflicts with their parents because of the tradition and just the difference of two generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to talk to our parents. We want to have conversations with them. And the issue is that we think they don't listen attentively.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to like jump to conclusions immediately or jump to criticism or judging mm-hmm. and whatnot and not feeling heard or respected. So, and you know, with these struggles that they face consistently, that has taken a huge toll on their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And some have even thought of suicide,
yep.
which is very, very tragic. So can you help us understand why there is this conflict within the relationship? And how can we view these conflicts in a more positive light, under a more positive light?
Yeah, I would say that it comes down to that we're not speaking the same language. And let me just explain what I mean by that.
Okay.
Right. That I think for both me and you, right, we're first generation Vietnamese,
mm-hmm.
right? Second generation Vietnamese is very, very different too. I mean, I'm sure
right.
most
yes.
of, you know, you, but also anybody who's listening can kind of pick that up. Like
definitely.
Of our cousins' kids now, they're very different. They're no longer Vietnamese or they're kind of American, right? But we have that kind of gift, but also that burden of that we're still kind of, we're almost like we have two feet separately in two different ponds, right? But we understand the culture.
Right.
Our parents come from a very different culture. Like, and this is something that I picked up while studying abroad in Italy, was I realized that the world is so much bigger than America, right? That the mentality is so different, right? And Europe is still very Western, right? But Italy compared to the US, completely different in perspective, in culture, in values, right? I mean, for one example for them, is that their value is being able to spend time as a family for meals. That isn't something that America often values, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of one example. But I would say, like, for the what we're talking about, our parents, I would say most of them come from experiences of great suffering, right? And I'm sure if we were to have an honest conversation with them, and maybe you have seen it. I mean, I've definitely seen it.
That's so true.
Yeah, like I've seen it with my parents, where they'll speak to me about their frustrations with their parents, right? But it's for them. It's like they don't speak and they don't have conversations about emotions because, like I said earlier, how I show you that I love you is through me caring for you and providing for you. Like that's their default.
Right.
That's their mentality. Is work hard, provide, don't talk about emotions. Roll your sleeves up, ignore your emotions, do not talk about them. Right? But with the US, we're very much focused on, like, how do you feel? Like, how, like, even in Vietnamese, like, if you notice this, in Vietnamese, there is no how do you feel?
Right. It's only how are you?
Yeah. So even if being embedded into the culture, there is no how are you?
Wow. Yeah.
Right? Like, how's life?
You
know, it's like, oh, are you hungry? You know?
Yeah.
Do you need this?
That is so true. I've never noticed
that. You need this.
Oh my goodness.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's embedded into our language.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And I think because they grew up in that, they had themselves have a hard time being able to be what we call vulnerable.
Right.
Because their vulnerability
exactly.
is them. I'm giving you already all that I have. Like, that's my vulnerability. Right? Whereas we speak a totally different language. And that's what I mean by that. Is that our language is affection, hearing I love you, being hugged and being, you know, affirmed. Oh, you're doing a great job. Because we hear that in the school.
Right.
We hear that from our peers.
Right.
Like, that's like the American Western mentality. Is that you affirm them. Affirm them. Like, that's what we hear in school all the time. Great job. Really? That was really bad. You know? Like, I think one prime example, my mom would say, you know, because I, you know, again, I had no Asian friends. She would always make fun of my friends, and she would always make fun of them to their face afterwards. And she'd like, watch this. Oh, Johnny, how's the food? And, you know, Johnny's like, oh, the food is really good. And then my mom was like, do you want any more? He's like, no. And so she would tell Johnny, so you don't like it. And Johnny would be like, you don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it. Then why did you say it was good? Right? So our the culture in America is very much like polite and like everything has to be good. Right? But the Vietnamese culture is very blunt.
Wrong.
You know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't always come out in like conversations, more of like these things. So I think when I say we're speaking different languages, we are speaking different languages
we
because we're not understanding each other. And I think in how to bridge that, you know, especially for those who are struggling with it, right? There has to be an acknowledgement that we are speaking two different languages. And now we need to find a common language, right? Not mom and dad, you have to adapt to me, right? Or parents, you have to adapt to me. It's like, no, you know, we are now in a different environment, in a different culture, where we have to be able to speak a language that we can both understand, giving a little bit on both sides, sacrificing. Right? Just like any relationship that you have, there has to be sacrifices on both sides. It can't be a one-sided thing. And I found it myself too, because I went on the same retreat at, you know, Ali Lavan when I was there for confirmation. And I would say that was, there was a part in there where there was a washing of the feet, right? I don't know if that's still part of it. There's a washing of the feet where the kids are reunited with their family after 5 days of camp or like 3 days during my time of retreat for confirmation. And their parents had written these letters, right, to their kids expressing like whatever it is. And obviously they're encouraged to write this letter as if this was the last letter to their kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so obviously that brings up a lot of emotions. Right. But then at the very end of it, after the kids are given those letters, the parents arrive at the retreat center and then there are bowls of water. It's called imitate the Last Supper, right? The washing the feet. And the parents are up there all seated, right? And the kids are invited when you're comfortable. And if you want to, then please come up and wash your parents' feet. I think for all of us, I would say we love our parents. And we want to love them in being able to express our love through touching, through conversations, but we don't know how. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to, we don't know the language. We don't have the framework yet to be able to have that, even though we love them. And in that moment when I went and, you know, read the letter, I said, I know all of this. I know all of this. And I kept asking myself, well, why don't you show me, right? And I remember when I saw my parents, like, they hugged me and we cried and everything. And it's like, I know that you love me, you know, but this is a language that I'm wanting you. And that is through affection. Mm. And for my parents, like, now, yeah, like now they'll hug me and they'll like say things. I'm like, ooh, that's kind of odd because I didn't grow up with that. So yeah, now it's like a weird framework,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then like to the, you know, washing the feet, like that was a moment where the language was universal, right? Because it was in that moment where parents were able to realize the love of their child. I mean, I'm sure parents know that we love them, right? But again, that there is no language that we could use to be able to communicate that.
Right.
Just like how maybe like some second generations now of Vietnamese can't communicate with their grandparents.
Yeah.
Right? But grandparents can still convey love without language, right? And we know this by our human contact.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, I definitely identify with those who, you know, experience, you know, some sort of isolation or loneliness or the sense of misunderstanding, right? But I'm glad that I'm now able to kind of see retrospectively kind of how I could have done things better, right? And I definitely feel for those who, especially today, right, feel that they have nowhere else to go and that sometimes their last resort is suicide, right? And that's very unfortunate and that should never be the case. And in those cases, you know, I really hope that, you know, for you parents that are out there right now, that are listening, that may be listening, that, you know, don't have a relationship with your kids, you know, maybe ask them, you know, hey, how are you doing? Right. Because that simple, you know, question can really open up a conversation.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But it's we have to be able to find a common language that we can speak together.
Yeah.
Right. But we can't blame each other for not doing that because we come from two different cultures. Mm-hmm. And I hope that parents understand it, that they're coming from different cultures and they can't impose. In the same way, kids have to understand too, and teenagers, you know, and young adults my age have to understand that we come from a different generation and we can't impose our views on them. But we have to be able to mutually respect each other and find a language to express the love that we all have in a way that's respectful. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because everybody has to do that on their own.
Right.
There's no solution to it where we can give like, hey, Father Randy says this is the solution and go home and apply it. It's like, no, because everybody's different. Every relationship is different. Every relationship has a past, has complexities, nuances that need to be talked through.
Yeah, it's definitely heartbreaking. I mean, to hear some of my peers personally telling me that my parents don't even check on me. They don't even ask me how I'm doing. Where I'm hearing that from like strangers and my friends, my own classmates, my teachers. And sometimes the words that they only speak to me are just words of criticism.
Yeah.
So then what concrete steps would you suggest a teen who has kind of lost this trust and connection with their parents to take in order to begin having true and honest conversations again, or be able to connect with their parents again and fill that void that they're having with that?
But I think if I can get your permission to kind of go back a little bit before I answer that question. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of, again, a perspective of Vietnamese parents and where they're coming from. And that's very ingrained in the Vietnamese culture because the Vietnamese were conquered by the French, right? And that's something I learned historically kind of now. And because I was like, why is the Vietnamese culture so, because the language itself, it's very, it's very kind of hierarchical. There's, you know, there's a working of system of caste, we call it, if you want to use that word, right? Why is that? Well, it comes from the French court, right? Of having these titles and having these, you know, roles and distinctions and whatnot, which is still very French, right? And the Vietnamese culture, that is embedded in the Vietnamese culture.
Yeah, I mean, right? You see at church too, yep. When you work with people. Yep. Right. Yeah.
And it comes off also too, is in that kind of culture, you don't want shame. Because shame is not just simply on the individual, but it's on the family, right? So what I do impacts everything else and how the family is seen, right? And I think oftentimes with the combination of parents that are refugees leaving Vietnam, right? And the kind of pressure of shame, right? Of wanting their kids to succeed so that people can see I'm a good parent. Right, I've been able to give and provide for my children because that's a pride. It's a pride for a Vietnamese parent to say that I provided for my kids.
Yes.
And that's why they are successful. Mm. But their definition of success is always seen in terms of income. Right. And I think this is something that Father Ansgar and a lot of Vietnamese priests have spoken about.
Yes.
Right. That as Catholics, right, our self-worth is not in the fact that we have money and homes and cars and purses.
Yes.
Right. Our self-worth, right, or Louis Vuittons and Gucci's. Right. Like you can be driving a nice Mercedes and eating like top ramen at home. Right.
Yeah.
But it's an image.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And oftentimes parents fall into that trap, which is very anti-Christian.
So you would say the image comes from the French culture.
It is. It is embedded because the Vietnamese culture, well, obviously it was first Indochina, right?
Yes.
I'm a history nerd. I love history. So I'm like, okay, Vietnam was Indochina, right? And then after a while, Vietnam was conquered and colonized to an extent by the French, right? Which brought Catholicism to Vietnam and Latinized the alphabet. So the alphabet we have now in Vietnam, they're not characters. Mm-hmm. It's Latin alphabet. Mm-hmm. It's because of the French. The French brought that in. Mm-hmm. That's why in Asia, besides the Philippines, because obviously with the Spanish, right? Mm-hmm. Vietnam is one of the only countries in Asia that has a Latin alphabet that's not characters, mm-hmm. right? And so we have a lot of influences from the French. But also like the imperial court of China.
Yeah.
And so it's a very like kind of caste system culture mm-hmm. of like hierarchy and ordering and titles and all of this, right? And that puts pressure, mm-hmm. right? That puts on our pressure. I mean, we see this like with the royal family in England, mm-hmm. right? There's a pressure there. I mean, anybody who follows that, like the whole Meghan and, you know, and Harry situation, mm-hmm. like you understand it. Mm-hmm. And there's a pressure, right? Mm-hmm. That's there, right? And that's because of that culture that they're grown into. Or, you know, raised into. Mm-hmm. And so that culture has impacted how Vietnamese families see things, right? And it all comes down to face, what we call face,
yeah.
right? What the face presents, right? And no one wants to be seen as the one that cannot succeed, mm-hmm. right? Because this is the land of opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, why did you leave Vietnam? Mm-hmm. To have opportunities, mm-hmm. to succeed. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. that's why you have like the term of Vikyu, mm-hmm. right? It's kind of an honorary title of someone from a Vietnamese person from the U.S. going to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of a status thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it's there.
Yeah.
Right. And so for a lot of parents, because of that, because they have experienced hardship and they don't want their kids to experience it. And also on top of that, wanting to kind of create that perfect image, mm-hmm. what we call the Instagram, you know, moment. Right.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. their ideal, it's like, how can I get my kids to succeed mm-hmm. so the world can see them in this light? Right.
Really to see them or is it to see the parents?
I would say it's a combination.
Okay.
I would say at parts, it's wanting to provide so the kids can have mm-hmm. that ability to not worry. Again, like my parents, I don't want you to worry, mm-hmm. right? Because they worried, mm-hmm. right? So maybe that's a part of it. But I would say in some parts too, it's maybe a kind of a pressure of like, what are my friends going to think about me? What are the prisoners going to think? What is my neighbor going to think about me? Mm-hmm. You know, when my kids are not doctors and lawyers and engineers, but they're working at a restaurant or they're cooking, mm-hmm. right? Because those are all in the Vietnamese mentality mm-hmm. in general,
right?
Right? It's different now in Vietnam, right? Because, you know, you have this change of culture, but a lot of it is these are like low-end jobs. Why would you want to be a cook? Why would you want to, you know, be a teacher? Like those are non-dignified jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's their experience.
Yeah.
In Vietnam, being a teacher, these are not dignified jobs. These are like low-end jobs that you can't, mm-hmm. that you skip because your family's not, you know, able to provide. And so they kind of project this, and then this projection becomes warped in their reality. And I would say it's very anti-Christian of an image, right? Because their worth is now put on, you know, the success of the individual and what they can do. Not on the fact that, you know, that they were created in the image and likeness of God. And their value is in that. Right.
Yeah.
And so that, and I think at times that's a difficulty with the Vietnamese community, you know, as Catholics, is that we can't break that, right? Because it's so embedded in a culture, right? And it's like our primary focus, you know, should be forming them to be disciples, right? Like forming them to be disciples. Like our pride should be in the fact that they have come to fully believe in who Jesus is.
Yes.
Right. I mean, one example I've got at two parishes. You know, obviously the Vietnamese culture, Catholics here, especially early Lavang and the Vietnamese community here, love priests, right? And love religious. They're very many. It's like they're like royalty.
Yeah.
Right?
But there was
Yeah, royalty. But there's one situation, I'm not gonna name any names. one situation, you know, they're like, oh, Father, it's so great to see young priests, and it's so great to have, you know, you be present with our youth and have them be involved. It gives them a new perspective on, you know, on the faith, and we want them to be able to come to church and be active, blah, blah, and everything. And I said, well, how about, you know, your son? And he was like, oh, yeah, but he is too much going for him. And and then I kind of looked and I said, well, what do you mean? And I kind of made like a little joke of like, well, how about me? She's like, oh, she's like, well, I'm sorry. No, no, that's not what I meant, you know, blah, 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 and everything. I'm like, I think that's exactly what you meant. Right. Which I think for her was kind of like, oh my gosh, like, he's really direct. You know, it was very like American of me, right? It's like, oh my gosh, he's very direct about this. And I was like, so you're basically saying that, you know, that if you're smart and you're, you know, successful and that you have life going for you, that you can't, that the priesthood isn't for you. And she was like, I know, but he is like, his grades are so good and we want him to do this and blah, blah. So I was like, you're saying exactly what I just said. You know, and she's like, yeah, I guess so. But at the very end of it, I don't think she ever got it. Right. I think it was still like, yeah, what you're doing is great. What you're doing for God is great. Right. But not for my kids. Like my kids, they, you know, I want them to have a family. I want them to have success and everything. It's like, if that is the mentality of Catholics in the pew, right, then they've not come to encounter Jesus. Because the most important thing that we should focus on is whether or not we are going to be with God for eternity.
Yes, that is the question.
That is the question.
Yeah.
And I think that's very pertinent for our conversation too, as in a particular, you know, Vietnamese Catholics. Right? Because we have a different perspective on life and what life is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of back to you. I mean, that's kind of obviously something that I think really is an underlying factor.
Oh, I'm so glad you touched base on that. And and you said it was very anti-Christian. And I feel like it is, but I just have never thought of it in that light in terms of like having it as anti-Christian. Because for me, I get very sensitive about, you know, parents just focusing on face and image. And sometimes I question their love in terms of, do they actually love me, or do they have me just, and it's not me specifically, but just in general, or like, do they have me just so that they can fulfill that pride, you know, or they can live out that pride. So then I do question, is there really true love in that? Or are they just, am I,
it's hard.
Feels like I'm being used as a trophy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or so the question, I think back to your question is like, how do we get away from that now? Like how do young people,
yeah, you know, so what concrete steps can they take to build that trust and connection again?
Yeah. What I found for myself, right, and which I mentioned before, is having to sacrifice a little bit. And I think that for me means saying, you know, that's where they're at. Right? They're not going to change. Right? Be able to kind of accept that and say, okay, now, well, and I think this is something I've always kind of used as my motto is, what can I do?
Yeah.
Right. Because I can't change the other person.
Yeah.
But what can I do?
Yeah.
Right. Knowing that what I've experienced and what can I now do? I think, and I hope that young people out there, you know, we're able to kind of see that part. Like, you know, what now can I do to be a bridge?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To be that olive branch. What can I do? And I think it comes down to maybe some sacrifices of, you know, whether that's, you know, you're talking about, you know, what career choice you're going into, right? Hear them out, right? I think very oftentimes I experience this with, you know, parishioners that come to me, not just, you know, Vietnamese, but, you know, anybody, but also in my experience growing up, like, I'd always want to be right and always argue, like, my way is the right way. Why don't you listen to me? Right? Well, let's maybe try kind of on this end of, like, what can I do? Right? What can you guys do? Well, ask them, well, why do you want that?
Yeah.
You know? And Vivian, and I think you kind of pick up on this, you know, that in the Vietnamese culture, it's very taboo to have your parents live separately, you know, once they're older and you kind of go off getting married and having your own family, right? And so, you know, it's very much part of the Vietnamese culture that you continue to care for your parents, even after, you know, you're married and you having kids. Like, a nursing home is never an option, right? So I had this one example in which I had a conversation with a family who was really struggling with that question, because the couple who had just gotten married, you know, wanted to move out and live on their own, right? Mm-hmm. Which is understandable because they want to be able to have their own environment to grow. Mm-hmm. And you need an environment that is separate from your what was before to grow, mm-hmm. right? But the parents were very upset about it. And, you know, the mother had said something that I think was really hard for the children to hear, but also to accept. And that, and she said, you know, if you, you know, move out, then that means you don't love me. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know that's not true.
Yeah.
Right. Because on one hand, like, you know, people need to be able to live their lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In a context where they are comfortable being themselves.
Right.
Right. And oftentimes once you move out, right, or you move away for school, mm-hmm. it's really hard to go back home,
right?
Because, you know, the way that you see things and the way that you live is very different now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so in that situation, right, you know, how do you reconcile that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it has to come down to a honest conversation,
mm-hmm.
right, of both sides understanding where the other side is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. On one side, the mom has, and you know, maybe the dad too, has to explain what his reasoning is. And it's very interesting because also the father was very much like, no, they should move out. Right.
So it's, right.
It was very much the mom. Right. But, you know, they should be open to, you know, the mom be able to hear, you know, what the reasons of the couple are.
Right.
Right. Right. And understand that, right. And respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, that's kind of comes at the mentality of, like, as a parent, as a Vietnamese parent, I'm always right.
Yeah.
It isn't always the case.
Yes.
Right. And the kids also have to understand where their mom is coming from. So it's maybe, you know, of finding a way of a middle ground,
mm-hmm.
right? Of whether that's, you know, I'm going to take care of you. Like, I'm going to visit you.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like I'm going to be disappearing,
mm-hmm.
but I need to be able to have my own space.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it comes down to an open conversation where both sides are willing to have a conversation and be open to listening to each other. And I think in that situation, being able to say, okay, you know what? Don't argue about it, because it's not going to go anywhere, because
mm-hmm.
you're always going to be arguing with each other, and it's going to be the same conversations over and over again of you guys yelling at each other about this stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously you want to explain at some point, but in this situation where the you know, the emotions are high, don't engage in it.
Don't need to respond.
Don't respond. And so that's, I would say, for, you know, one thing to see, what can I do?
But is it like, don't respond within that moment?
In that moment.
Okay. And then, so then.
Yep.
After that situation,
when
find a calming moment.
Down.
Just, and then explain.
Yeah, which is kind of this, something basic to any relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when you are in flames and
yes.
you are impassioned with emotions, to never, ever engage, because you're going to say something stupid.
Yes.
Right? That's what I said to
Always.
Myself this morning.
Yeah.
Father Randy, you're going to breathe 4 seconds and then respond. Right? Even I have to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Because I have my emotions and I have my reactions and kind of where, you know, I'm upset about, but I'm like, before I say something stupid that I will regret, let me take a moment to kind of put myself in the right place.
Yeah.
Right?
And not just even saying it, but like action too.
Yeah, like pounding the door or like, you know.
Sometimes I'm at a dinner table and I'm mad. I want to slam the dinner table. But
Don't do that. Those chops should be thrown at you.
Yeah. That's so true.
Right. But I would say, be able to kind of step away and say, you know what, I'm not going to engage in this conversation right now. Right. And they can vent and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's really hard because when people are angry, they say a lot of things that they don't want to say or mean.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Maybe they mean it. Right. Sorry. My faces are now reacting. Yeah. Sorry for those of you that can't see my face right now, but I'm reacting a lot. Anyways, don't engage. Right. Step away. And say, okay, I'm going to let my mom or my dad, you know, yell about whatever they're going to yell about, but I'm not going to internalize it, right? And then I'm gonna say, okay, I'm gonna wait, and then talk about later on, right? Because at that point, then it's calming. Say, hey, mom, you know, and I think it's important too, and say, hey, mom, you know, I was really hurt when you said this.
Yeah.
Right. But at times too, it's hard because sometimes Vietnamese parents don't get it. They just don't get it, right? And at that point, you know, it takes someone to be really sacrificial and saying that's how they are, right? And sometimes that's the reality, that our parents are not going to listen to us and want to listen to us because we can speak, but unless they want to listen, they're not going to, right? For those who have ears ought to hear, right? But that doesn't always happen, right?
Yeah.
And so I would say for anybody who's struggling, right, see where they're coming from, try to understand it, try to engage in a conversation when the emotions are not high, right? And let time smooth over, right? Because, but also stand your ground, right? And explain to them, you know, why this means this to me, right? And the hope is that they listen, but we can't force them to listen. And it's unfortunate that, you know, there isn't an openness, right? Because we have to be open to listening if we want to be ever be heard. But yeah, so I would say that's my encouragement for the young people that are listening. But I also encourage, you know, you parents out there who are maybe listening right now, who are struggling with your kids, who haven't or who haven't spoken to your kids in a long time, right? Understand where they're coming from, right? Nobody does anything out of wanting to hurt the other person or out of, you know, malice or bad intention.
Right.
It's just like, again, we're not speaking the same language. Both parents, you know, young people have to be open to hearing each other out and then seeing where each other are coming from, understanding it, and then saying, oh, what can I do to meet halfway? Right. We should always meet halfway.
Yeah.
In any relationship.
Yeah.
Always meet halfway. Never expect the other person to go to your side. Right?
Yeah.
And that's something I've picked up in my upbringing. Right? Maybe that's because I was oldest, and so I had to, you know, step outside of that. But, you know, there has to be a middle ground.
Yeah.
And there is always a middle ground, right? If you truly are seeking reconciliation, and truly seeking, you know, a relationship, it's always possible.
And what would you suggest parents do to meet halfway?
Ask your kids, you know, if you're arguing about something, ask, you know, why is this important to you? Explain to me why this is important. But parents, you know, when you do it, don't do it in a way where you're like, okay, I have to do this. So I'm listening here. Right? But actually be open to understanding your children.
Yeah.
And I think for parents too, you know, parents, everybody has gone through this, right? It's not just a Vietnamese thing. It's a human thing where we've all been through experiences where we're like, oh, that was awful. Why did I do that? Or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But parents, you've had your experiences and struggles with your parents too, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you all have those moments, right? Well, open the allowance for your kids, right? I mean, you love your kids. I think that's a hope, right? I would say most parents that are listening right now love their kids, but are looking for a way to re-engage and have a conversation, because no one wants, you know, an empty table at Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Right? Yeah.
Everyone wants a full house of family or not.
Yeah.
And the only way that you're going to keep your family together is if you're open to listening and willing to meet halfway.
Mm.
That's simple. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's hard because it takes humility.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the biggest sin is pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It destroys all things. And that's what the devil came to do, is to divide by pride.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's happening with families. Families are being divided by pride, whether that's on the parents' end or on the kids' end. I'm like, nope, I'm right. You know, I'm not going to.
And even from the parents' mentality of like, I'm your parent, you're my child, I know better than you, so you need to listen to me.
Yep.
But parents aren't always.
No.
Always right. Sorry to say that.
Yeah.
But.
So you have like that too. You have like that kind of like that strict parent and a loosey-goosey parent, right? So you never want to be either or. You want to be in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, it's being able to be open to what your kids are saying and the humility saying, yeah, that was probably right. And again, parents, you don't have to admit it. I mean, if you could, great.
Yeah.
But you probably won't admit it.
Oh, it's so hard for them to even admit, like, sorry. I mean, unless you, like, go and, you know, spill water just on accident. I don't know what you call that, but it's like you just say sorry because you know.
Yep, I don't do that.
But like,
yeah, but it's funny because my mom has a couple times like said sorry. Oh, okay, mom, thanks. That was awkward for me too. You know, but it's like, or like it's funny because my mom, her gesture, or like even like any my yeah my aunts and uncles too, their gesture is like, here's $10. Oh, thanks. Again, it's like the whole providing thing. It's like, I'm gonna provide it for you. And that's like,
I just don't want to say it.
Yeah, I don't say it.
Yeah.
But So yeah, that was obviously a lot. So, but I would say there has to come down to an openness, to having conversations. Do not engage in conversations when you're upset and you're emotional, and then being able to meet halfway. Yeah, but that takes it takes time. Is that gonna happen overnight?
Are you also able to explain a little bit about just the mental health effects on kids, just so parents can understand and are aware that this is a real thing that kids go through?
Yeah,
they sit in their room or whatnot and think about, what are ways I can do to just get out of this house? And perhaps the only way that I could get out of here is to die.
Yeah.
Can you help explain just kind of the mental health effects of the danger of when we're not thinking about what we're saying, what our words and how it affects kids? Yeah, just so that parents can understand and are aware.
Yeah. Now, obviously, I think you hit on point, Vivian, right? That the extreme case that we want to prevent, that a lot of kids, you know, in this time, in this, you know, culture that they're living in, can result to suicide, right? Which is a very real reality. And I think we're seeing an uptick in suicide, you know, in our country, right? Of those who are just like taking that, like that's my only option, right? And it's parents like realizing that that has to be for your wake up call. Like, you have to recognize that, you know, why are these kids taking their lives and saying that that's the only way out, right? You have to realize that they're suffering.
Yeah.
Right. And parents, in some ways, you probably have experienced that with your, you know, relationships with your husband or your wife or your parents or your siblings.
Yeah.
Right. Recognize that that is a cry for help. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would hope that you'd never want to one day, you know, wake up and find your child taking his life or her life, right? Because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
And, you know, I mean, kids are also really good at acting. You know, they might be really happy in front of you, but when it's like door shut and they're in their private room, they're thinking about it.
You just parents, I would just recommend that put your child's life as a top priority, right? That they need to be thriving or somewhat to that point of, you know, being able to live a life without worrying, right? Again, like my parents always, I don't want you to worry, right? And that should be anybody's mentality for for their kids, is not wanting their kids to worry about anything.
Yeah.
You know, young people, especially those in middle school, high school, right? Their focus should be school, their friends, and enjoying life as they are now without the endless, you know, responsibilities as an adult. Right. And the same with college age, you know, and young adults my age, right? It should be being able to enjoy life, finding, you know, a significant other.
Yeah.
Right. And being able to spend time with their parents, you know, when they can.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because parents are not going to be here forever. And parents should be able to recognize, like, well, let's live our lives to the fullest now and have a relationship with our children, right? So that's the most important thing. Because if you don't and you keep pushing them away, right? You may ask yourself, well, why don't my kids come visit me? Why don't my grandkids come visit me? Well, that's probably your fault, right? It's probably your fault. And the extreme is that they may take their lives, right? And that should be a wake up call to all parents. But it's difficult because, you know, I don't want to believe that parents like hear this and understand it, but then don't react. I hope they really do. I hope parents, you know, if you are listening now, right, really take the opportunity today or tonight and check in with your, kids. You know, your kids and say, I love you. You know, that whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that, you know, I've done, right, know that I love you. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause those simple words mean a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it shows that the parents care. Mm-hmm. And that's what kids are wanting. Mm-hmm. It's like, parents, you know, I want you to show me that you care about me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want the material stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. I want you to show that you love me. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's something that we all want, mm-hmm. right? It's to be unconditionally loved, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, we're born to be loved and to love.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think even beyond, you know, even with that, right? I would say with maybe you kids are out there, maybe you're struggling, right? That, you know, your self-worth is that you were created by God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm sorry that if you're not able to reconcile your relationship with your parents, mm-hmm. and your parents aren't able to see eye to eye with you, but your self-worth is by virtue of that God created you. Mm-hmm. And he loves you unconditionally.
Yeah.
Right. God the Father is the perfect image of a Father.
Yeah.
Right. And our parents are not perfect.
Yeah.
Right. And and sometimes we have to say, okay, they're not perfect, mm-hmm. and they're going to hurt me. Right. Do I recommend that you step away from your family? I say, no, I hope not.
Yeah.
Right. But at times you have to kind of reconcile yourself with that, you know, this reality of mine is not always going to be the perfect reality that I want, mm-hmm. right? But then God loves you. Mm-hmm. Like God unconditionally loves you no matter what.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that his love is one that is without qualification, mm-hmm. right? And that if you are struggling and you don't see a way out, right, go to God.
Go to God,
right? Because he is the perfect Father, right? And especially tomorrow we celebrate the Assumption of Mary, mm-hmm. right? That Mary assumes the heaven, not escaping us. But by virtue of her being in heaven now, she is closer to us, mm-hmm. because she is now beyond time and space. Mm-hmm. So she extends her love and her presence with mm-hmm. us, right? And so, you know, if you're struggling out there, you know, whether that's parents, you know, older, you know, parents who have kids and or kids with their parents, whatever it is, right? Go to Our Lady.
Yes.
You know, ask her for the strength to be able to weather the storms, mm-hmm. right? To be able to see that there is a better side. Mm-hmm. And that side should be that our worth and our identity is in the fact that God created us to love. And if we can't find that love in our families, there is love that we can find elsewhere, right? Mm-hmm. Through God, through our friends, right? But being really open to, you know, opening ourselves up to receiving that, mm-hmm. Even though it may not qualify to be the same love as you'd want from your parents, mm-hmm. but, you know, God is desiring to give you and show you that love, mm-hmm. no matter where it's at. But I always say yes. Try to reconcile yourself. Try to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, right, then turn to God.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, also turn to God during this time of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, turn to God in those moments where you find yourself isolated and in difficulty. Mm-hmm. But also reach out to, you know, your friends, mm-hmm. your priest.
Yeah.
Right, you'd be surprised, like
people in your church.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I always tell the kids,
especially Father Randy.
Oh, thank you. I always tell, you know, the kids at our grade school, and I'm like, I'm always available for you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beauties of being a parochial vicar, mm-hmm. is I don't have to have the headaches and the responsibilities of my pastor with all the administrative stuff. So I can be in the school and be with them. And that's why I'm there all the time, is I want them to feel comfortable to be able to joke with me, so that hopefully, you know, if they're struggling with something, they can feel comfortable enough to come to me, mm-hmm. and say, hey, Father, I'm struggling with this, right? Because that's my job, mm-hmm. is to be able to have you, you know, encounter the love of God in Christ through all the experiences you may have. Mm-hmm. Your priest is always available for you. For that.
Well, I just have to say the Archdiocese of Portland is so blessed to have you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really do. So for those of you who, you know, are struggling maybe with particular, you know, situations that want someone to chat about, you know, you're always welcome to call St. Cecilia's and set up an appointment with me or, you know, stop on by. Actually call the office. Yeah, it'd be great. I'll go home this afternoon for like a meeting. I'm like, Father, you have like 10 appointments tomorrow morning. Oh, okay. But no, I'm always available to have the conversation. But trust that God loves you, and that if you cling to him, and if you, you know, ask of him of assistance, he's going to provide that for you. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show you that, mm-hmm. that, you know, that suicide is not, should not be an option for you.
Yeah,
right? Don't ever look at that.
Yeah.
Right? Because God is really wanting to show you that he does really truly love you. Mm-hmm. Right. And so for those of you who may be struggling with that, you know, reach out.
Yeah.
You know, we love you, and we are here to to help you and lift you up out of any darkness, any storms that you may be weathering at this time.
Yeah, and I would also add on, like, you talked a lot about, or you emphasized discipleship in the beginning. And so I think for me, it's just kind of understanding that all of our calling is to be holy and to become a saint. Mm-hmm. And so we're just kind of here helping each other to reach sainthood. Mm-hmm. So kids help parents help kids reach sainthood. And it's just that boiling down to humility.
Yep. Humility. That's it. Yeah. And for those of you, and this is kind of my little pitch, for those of you young adults out there who are, you know, struggling with these things, right? Especially for those of you who are, you know, 20s and 30s, there is YCP. There's a Young Catholic Professionals group. Obviously, that is meant for, you know, young Catholics in our archdiocese to be able to connect with each other, but also to grow in the professional life. But it's a great way for you to find that community, because as a Catholic, it's hard enough that we're living in the state that we are in, right?
Yeah.
And it's another to be able to experiencing these, you know, difficulties with our families and our parents.
Yes.
Right? You need a community. Yes. Never go solo. Go find a community.
Uh-huh.
And we have that with YCP. We meet once a month, right? And, you know, find your local, you know, young adult group in your parishes or in the area and connect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not alone. Like, you know, a lot of people share the same sentiments, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping with early Lavang and the Vietnamese communities, you guys start, you know, getting yourselves involved in these things, because the more we have conversations about it, the more we're able to help each other be able to grow and be able to find healing in all of that.
Yeah. Okay, so last question here to wrap up, just for fun.
Would I rather?
No. Oh. What is the greatest piece of advice you've ever been given?
In general?
In general. It doesn't have to be about this. It's just in
ever? Oh my gosh, this is hard. This wasn't on your question list.
I know. I'm not supposed to give it to you.
the greatest advice. If you ever find yourself lost in life and in your vocation, always look back to the initial flame. That's what a now priest once told me when I was in college seminary and I was kind of struggling with some things. He says, remember what sparked that flame in you that led you here, because that's going to help you. Right. And I think the same thing with, I mean, I use that now to couples, right? Whatever storms that may be weathering in your marriage, right? Look back to that original flame, because that's where the pure love is. The same with, I'm sure, with parents and kids, right? What is that original flame in which, you know, you were able to experience true love from your parents or true love from your kids and find, okay, well, it's there. Now, how do I rekindle that flame?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. Well, as mentioned in the beginning of this episode, each episode will end with a piece of challenge to help you on your journey of finding your truest identity and living your purpose to the fullest potential. And so for this month, I would say, shift your perspective and look at the bigger picture. Don't pick on the details your parents say and do, and rather try to understand their intentions. And like Father Randy said, be open, ask the question, what can I do? And decide that no matter what your parents say and do, you will respond with compassion and grace, doing it in love and truth. And for parents, I would say, remember that words can bring life or death, and that your kids may not remember what you've said, but they probably will remember how you've made them feel. And so
absolutely.
I would say, like, fill your words with encouragement, and don't just focus on providing or just, you know, care, shelter and whatnot, because that's kind of like building a family kind of like in a house, but instead fill them with, you know, I love yous or all these affections and affirmations and whatnot, because then you're building a home within a family.
Exactly.
So, Father, do you have anything else you would like to add on?
No, I think, like what you said very beautifully, you know, building your foundation on rock, not on sand, right? That can fade.
Yeah.
Because all these material things that you buy that provide for them, that's all going to go away. But also what they need is a solid foundation of knowing your love for them, period.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
But yeah, once again, Vivian, thank you for having me on this podcast. I pray
Thank
that it
you.
Is a successful one. I think you have a great lineup of hosts that are coming up. So again, thank you for that. And thank you for
thank
giving
you
the opportunity
for being
to share
here. Such a pleasure.
Some of these things and insights with our fellow listeners here at Modern Day Radio.
Well, your wisdom and insights are always top notch.
Oh, thank you. Tell my pastor that. I'm kidding, Father Mike. I'm not sure if he's listening to this right now, but Father Mike Walker is a great pastor. He's currently the pastor at Cecilia's and a mentor of mine. So
awesome. Well, wishing you always, you know, the best in your future endeavors and also in priesthood as well.
Thank you. Say a prayer for me and a prayer for my parishioners. So they need it for sure.
Do you mind closing us off with your blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, thank you again for this opportunity for us to gather here to speak about how to build a better relationship within our families. I ask that you send your mother as we begin to celebrate the Assumption of Our Lady, that she may come to protect us and to guide us to be the perfect family in which you have designed us for. I ask that you take away any barriers that are between parents and their children, and that you may enlighten them in their hearts and minds to help you to respond with great love for one another and to express it through their lives to each other. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Father Randy.
Thank you, Vivian.
For being here. And thank you to everyone who has tuned into this podcast. Starting in October, every episode will be released on the first Friday of the month. And you can also find us on the free Hail Mary Media app or wherever you get your podcasts. And also while you're on there, check out other Vietnamese prayers and sermons and follow us on our social media pages linked in the description area. Remember to love God more than you fear your cross. And we will see you on Friday, October 6th for another episode. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Through Thick and Thin, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. Learn more about this podcast, our other shows, and other Vietnamese content by visiting the free Hail Mary Media app.